I flew over and turned on the center light in the center of the room, and all of a sudden, off from the bed flew a bat. And it was flying around. Now, I was just woken up out of a dead sleep. I mean, you know. And my wife says, get it, get it. And she was screaming and hollering. I said, you know, I'll get it, you know. And so I took a blanket. I'm going to throw a blanket over a bat. Yeah, right, you know. And so here I am. I get this blanket. And I'm still half asleep. And this bat is going around the room. And I grab this blanket. I throw it up in the air. Needless to say, the blanket comes over top of me. And I think the bat's inside the blanket with me, and I'm screaming like a little girl. Ah, you know. Bring back memories, Gail. I thought for sure Dracula was going to bite me or something, you know. But, you know, we all have some phobias, don't we? My daughter, she hates mice. If she caught a mouse when she lived over here in Oak Harbor before she moved to Tennessee, she'd call up crying. She'd, Dad, Dad. I says, what's wrong? She says, I got a mouse in a trap. And would you please come over and get rid of it? You know, she's as petrified of mice. I said, oh, goodness. Then I was reminded that a bat's just nothing more than a mouse with wings, you know. But I'm sure that if we were honest, we'd all admit that there's some areas of our life that fear probably controls us. Isn't that true? What is it that controls you? What fear controls you? I remember my grandmother, she had a phobia about weather. And my grandmother lived with us for the last probably 15 years of her life. And I remember mom and dad was getting ready to go somewhere. Grandma didn't drive. She never had a driver's license in her life. But she'd turn on the weather. And she'd tell my mom and dad, you're not going to be gone long, are you? They said, well, we're just going to go up to the store. Well, they're talking about maybe some storms. I mean, 20 or 30% chance, and she'd be petrified. But when she was a girl, there was some tornadoes that went through Bradner and Cygnet, Ohio, where she grew up. She saw people killed. And it created a phobia because of storms. I guess we all have some things that we're afraid of. In this passage, in verse number 26, and then also in verse number 30, it says that they were terrified, they were afraid. Verse 26, it says, they cried out for fear. In verse number 30, it says, but when they saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, Peter was, and he began to sink, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Just what made them fear? What was it that they were afraid of? By the way, Peter, I believe, and the disciples, they were children of God. What were they afraid of? And I think as we look at this passage of Scripture, maybe we ought to think that ourselves. What is it that makes us afraid? What is it that we're fearful about? I want you to notice some things tonight, just several things. And ask this question, why do we fear? Number one, I think we fear because we forget the sovereignty of God. We forget that God's in control. The results, think about this. The results of the stock market, 1929, people committed suicide because they were fearful about the future. Back in the 1940s, a radio program come on by Orson Welles called War of the Worlds. And that radio program was so realistic, people tuned in and they thought it was real. And from the things that I heard and read, people went out and committed suicide thinking that aliens had attacked our planet and was going to kill everybody. So they just killed themselves. Fear motivated them to do that. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter number 8 and verse number 23 through 26, another storm arose and Jesus rebuked the winds and the waves, and he said, peace be still. You know, we forget that God is in control of the weather. You say, well, if God's in control of the weather, then what? Why did he allow what happened out on the East Coast? I really don't know. You can ask God when you get to heaven. But I do know this, that God is the one that controls everything. And if he allows a storm to come, it has to come for a reason and a purpose. I think the question should be, not why did God send a storm? The question should be, why doesn't God just wipe all of us off the face of the earth? I mean, is anybody really deserving of life? I think not. In Matthew chapter number 8, verse 29 through verse number 30, we find that Jesus heals the maniac of Gadara. We find in Matthew 9, verse number 1 through 3, we find that Jesus heals the sick of the palsy. In Matthew 9, verse 20 through 22, Jesus heals the woman with the issue of blood. In Matthew 9, verse 23 through 25, Jesus raises Jairus' daughter. Now listen, they were afraid because they had forgotten who was in control. And many times we as a child of God, we will have fear rule our life and run our life and ruin our life because we forget to remember God is in control. Now, here's a question. Look at Matthew 24. Look at verse number 22. Excuse me, Matthew 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained them. Now, that word constrained, as I've said in the past, it means must needs. Jesus said, you've got to get into this ship. You've got to get into this ship. He constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. Jesus said, get into the ship, go to the other side, I'll meet you on the other side. Isn't that what the verse is saying? If Jesus said, get into the ship and go to the other side and I'll meet you on the other side, you mark it down, they're going to get to the other side. They're going to get to the other side. So why should they worry? Why should they fear? Now, for the child of God today, listen. Jesus said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus said he gives us eternal life and will never perish. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may be also. Why should we fear? No, I realize that maybe in the process of time, we might get hurt and have pain. But should we fear that pain? We might lose a loved one. And there might be grief over separation. But should we fear that separation? As a child of God, we have no fear about separation because one day we're going to be reunited. You see, number one, they had forgotten the sovereignty of God. Jesus, as God, said, get into the boat, go to the other side, I'm going to meet you there. And so the child of God should never fear. We ought to go ahead and read God's promises and claim God's promises and count God faithful and true. Amen. Number two, they had forgotten the grace of God that could sustain them during times of need. They forgot the grace of God that could sustain them in the time of need. In Matthew chapter number 8, verse 23 through 26, Jesus calmed the tempest. By the way, if he did it before, can he do it again? You ever go through a difficult time? How many of you have gone through a difficult time in your past? All right? Gone through a difficult time, Brother Troy? But you're here today. That means God got you through it. You know what's going to happen tomorrow? He'll get you through it tomorrow. You see, the grace of God that sustained them in a previous voyage on the Sea of Galilee is the same grace that continue to sustain them during this voyage. They had forgotten the grace of God that could sustain them during the time of need. In Matthew chapter number 8, we find that Jesus calms the tempest, and he can do it again. And one time, you know, if you're going through a trouble now, you remember you went through trouble in the past. And God got you through it, and God can get you through it again. In Matthew chapter number 14, verse number 21, Jesus fed the 5,000. In verse number 26, they cried out for fear. In verse number 20, or verse number 30, when they saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Did not God speak into existence our worlds? Is he not omniscient or all-knowing? Is he not omnipotent, all-powerful? Is he not omnipresent, present everywhere? Is not God immutable, unchanging? Is he not trustworthy? And is he not faithful? Of course he is. Then, Christian, we need to live like it. I remember on several occasions I told my grandmother, who was just petrified of storms, and she was a devout Christian woman, but she had a fear of storms, and I said, Grandma, I said, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you tell everybody you need to trust God. And I said, with all loving kindness, you need to trust God during storms. And she'd say, I know, Ricky, I know, but I'm so afraid. I says, Grandma, God's got you through 80 years of storms. He's not going to let you down now. And God's not going to let us down. He's trustworthy and he's faithful. I want you to notice three things about worry and fear. Number one, 95% of the things that we worry and fear about never happen. Never happen. Number two, worry and fear reveal lack of faith. And the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please him. What about Daniel in the den of lions? By the way, was it a den of lions or was it a lion's den, according to the scripture? You read in your Bible, you'll find out it does not say a lion's den. It says it's a den of lions. Some of the liberals try to say, well, you know what? It really wasn't a den of lions. It was a lion's den, so therefore it could have been empty. What a tremendous miracle when they threw all of those other people down there and that empty den just devoured them alive. Amazing what liberals will come up with. Daniel was thrown into the den of lions. Did he worry? Did he fear? Did he plead for his life? No, don't throw me into the den of lions. Don't throw me down there. I don't want to be eaten alive. No, he didn't say that. He said, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. I believe that Daniel went over there to those lions. Boy, you're beautiful. Would you please lay down? I'm tired. I'm going to take a nap. And he probably used one of those lions for a big old fluffy pillow. That'd be kind of nice. And those lions probably curled up around him and and Daniel just fell asleep. You say, oh, you're really taking liberty, preacher. And that's my opportunity. I'm a preacher. I'm allowed to do that, all right? And so, you know, stop and think about it. Daniel's life was not driven by fear. It was driven by faith. How about the three Hebrew children? They stood before the king, and the king said, I'm going to give you another chance. When you hear the sound of the music, fall down and pray to my false god. And they said, we will not bend, we will not bow, and we will not burn. You can do whatever you want to do. It's not going to happen. And so the three Hebrew children were thrown into the fiery furnace. And all of a sudden, you remember the story? The story said that the clothes didn't even smell like fire. But there was one thing that was burn up. One thing was burn up when the three Hebrew children were thrown in the fiery furnace. Anybody know what it was? Before the guards were thrown in there. When they threw them in, they were bound. They were bound. The only thing that burned off was their bonds. And when they got thrown in the fiery furnace, the Bible says we see four men loosed, and the one like unto the Son of God. You know what fiery trials will do? If you allow God to, He'll loosen your bonds through the fiery trials of life. Fear shows lack of faith. Worry and fear hinders prayer. In James chapter number 1, verse number 5, it says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You know, lack of faith hinders prayer. We talked about that in Sunday school today. And then I want you to notice number 3. Number 1, they had forgotten the sovereignty of God. Number 2, they had forgotten the grace of God that could sustain them during the time of need. Number 3, they had forgotten the promise of God. You know, many times we will fear in our life because we forget God's promises to us. We forget God's promises. He said, go before him to the other side. Jesus said, I'll meet you on the other side. They forgot his promise. They were afraid. They were afraid because they did not understand that Jesus said, get into the ship. I'm going to meet you on the other side. Stay in the ship. I'm going to meet you over there. And as I said in the past, I don't really think it was ever God's intention for Peter to ever get out of the boat. That's my personal conviction about that. It was for them to stay in the ship and make the journey together. But we find here that Jesus told them and commanded them to get into the ship. And they were afraid because they forgot his promises. What are promises given to us? Hebrews 13:5, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. John 6:35, he said that he would never cast us out. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. John chapter number 10, verse number 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Matthew 7:11, it says he will give us good things and not evil things. Romans 8:38 and 39, nothing will separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 13, he promises not to tempt us above that which we are able, but with every temptation allow a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. So what I'm saying is this, they have forgotten the promise of God, and that's why they were afraid. And every time a Christian gets fearful, it's because they forget the promises of God. You say, well, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. The Lord does. He knows what you're going through. Now, let me just give you several things for you tonight on how you can combat fear. How you can get over the fear factor as a Christian. Look at verse 22 of Matthew 14. Verse 22 of Matthew 14. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. How can I combat fear? Number one, you ought to write this down. You be in the place where God has commanded you to be. You be in the place where God has commanded you to be. And if you are exactly where God has commanded you to be, then the only thing that will ever touch you or harm you is what God allows. Be where God's commanded you to be. You say, well, where is that? God's commanded us to be faithful. God has commanded us to be loving and kind. God has commanded us to be busy in His work. God has commanded us to be in the house of God. God has commanded us to be in prayer. There's all kinds of things that God has commanded us, places for us to be. So be in the place of God's command. And then, number 2, and maybe I should have made this first. Make sure you're in the ship of salvation. Make sure you're in the ship of salvation. God forbid that you leave here tonight and for some unknown reason slip off into eternity and be lost forever. Forever. Lost without any hope. Without any chance of being ever redeemed or being loved by God or entering into a place called heaven. God forbid. Make sure you're in the ship of salvation. That's where the disciples were at. They're in the ship of salvation. It was a place of fellowship. It was a place of safety. It was a place where the voice of God was heard. It was a place of God's will. It was a place of miracles. It was a place of true worship. Don't leave this place tonight fearing eternity. Don't leave this place tonight wondering, am I saved or lost? If you're going to combat fear, number one, make sure you're in the ship of salvation. Number two, make sure you're in the place of God's command. We need not fear the storms of life. We ought to fear the one who creates the storms. Luke 12:5 says, "But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. I say unto you, fear him." Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, "Fear not them that are able to which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell." We need to fear him. My friends, tonight, ask this question: what are you afraid of? What are you fearful of? As a child of God, you have nothing to fear. Nothing. Not as long as you are in the ship of salvation in the place of God's command. But what is it that holds you captive? What is it that you are fearful of? I'm glad we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. We do not have to fear. I care not today what tomorrow shall bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. I'm glad I do not have to fear about life. I need to fear the Lord. But if we put the Lord first in our life, don't have anxiety and fear about what's going on. Father in heaven, Lord, I do pray that you'd just be with us, guide us, and direct us. Help us, Lord, not to fear the circumstances of life, but trust in the mighty sovereign hand of God. I pray, Lord, now that you bless this invitation, we give it to thee in Jesus' name. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, we invite you to come tonight. Maybe it's just to come and gather around the altar and say, "Lord, help me. Help me not to be afraid. Help me not to be afraid of the future. Help me not to be afraid of the circumstances that are upon me. Help me not to be afraid of all the trials of life." Would you come tonight if the Lord has spoken to you? Would you come? Maybe it's just to say, "Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, to trust you. Help me, Lord, not to be afraid." Would you come if the Lord has spoken to you? Lord, tonight we are so thankful that we do not have to live a life filled with fear. But Lord, tonight we can have the blessings of security and Lord, the blessings of peace in our life, realizing that you're in control. Now, Father, we ask and pray that you'd once again be with Hannah tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd help her. And Lord, I pray you'd help the family. And Lord, we pray that you'd be with Cindy Paul tonight, Junior Sanchez. Be with Bobby King, Lord, and others that are very ill. We thank, Lord, of Carol Burkhaw tonight, Lord. A dear friend, I pray, Lord, you'd help her. She's battling cancer. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help all the others that are sick. Have your healing hand upon them. Now, Lord, help us to be faithful to you this week. A faithful witness, faithful in obedience to your word. Help us, Lord, to be the type of Christian, Lord, that you'd have us to be. Guide and direct and give us safety as we go to our homes. And, Lord, bring us back again at the next appointed hour. We'll give you the praise and glory for everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Good to see you out tonight. Don't fear this week. Trust God. God bless.